Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to see you here on Rally Sunday, a day that marks a fresh beginning in our church's year. Today, we gather, hopefully, with renewed energy, eager to embrace all of our opportunities, gather with this with the knowledge of all the challenges that are ahead. It's a new program year, new opportunities, a chance to meet new people, but also to catch up and refresh old relationships. And not just the young people, right? We all are. However, when I was younger, I was not that excited about things that were new. I had tons of anxiety when I would start a new school year. I was sure it was going to be so hard, that I was going to flunk all my classes, that I was going to be so busy. But the worst thing, I thought, I'm going to forget my locker combination. That, I still have nightmares, right? Well, I was looking at my weaknesses, what I lacked, rather than with anticipation on what I was going to learn and the opportunities of a new year. In ancient Greece, it was customary for peddlers who walked the streets with their wares to cry out, "What do you lack?" The idea was to let people know that they were in the vicinity, of course, but also to rouse the curiosity of the people. Coming out of their houses, people would want to know what the peddler was selling and if indeed they might have lacked that or needed that or simply something that they desired. Like something that happens every time I go on Amazon. It's not something I lack, it's something I desire, right? Well, in Mark 7, Jesus encounters a man who does lack something, but not something he could get from the peddler, something more serious. He couldn't hear or really speak. The man in the story is brought to Jesus by others. He is described as deaf and having a speech impediment, indicating that his world is one of isolation and difficulty in communication. His physical condition can also reflect maybe a broader theme of spiritual and emotional barriers. As the crowd presented this deaf and mute man to Jesus, Jesus placed his fingers in his ears and on his tongue, and he said, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." And with that single word, the prophecy of Isaiah had been fulfilled. A world that had always existed suddenly became real for this man. He could now hear the world around him to share his own words of his experience, his wisdom, what he can give to others. All his life he had seen people talking, and all he could do was mimic them. Now, for the first time, he could hear his native tongue. All of his life, he had seen people working in the marketplace. He had seen the children laughing and shouting cries of joy. And all his life, he couldn't hear what they were doing. But now, he could finally hear the bartering and those children. All his life, he had seen the temple and the Torah, but now for the first time, he was able to hear his own faith being spoken to him, the religion of his ancestors of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses. A world that had always existed suddenly became real to him. How life changes when you can hear. How life changes when Jesus comes and says, "Be open." Several years ago, I heard a story about an indigenous person, a Cherokee, who was in downtown New York walking with a friend who lived in New York City. As they were walking along, suddenly the indigenous person stopped and said, "I hear a cricket." His friend replied, "You are crazy." He said, "No, I hear a cricket. I do. I'm sure of it." The New Yorker said, "It's noon. There are people everywhere heading to lunch, cars honking, taxis squealing, and there's this noise from the city that's all around us. Surely you can't hear a cricket above all that noise." The man said, "Well, I'm sure that I hear a cricket." So he listened attentively, and soon enough, he walked over about 10 feet to this little bush in this cement container, lifted up the little branches and pushed aside the dirt, and sure enough, there was a cricket. The man said, "That is absolutely amazing." But the Cherokee said, "My ears are no different from yours. It simply depends on what you are listening to. Here, let me give you an example." So he reached into his pocket and he grabbed a bunch of coins, some quarters and dimes and nickels, and he threw it down on the concrete. And as he dropped it, every head within a half a block turned to look. You see what I mean? As he began picking up the coins, it all depends on what you are listening for. Well, I wonder what the deaf man in this passage today was listening for. Was it the birds chirping or the children laughing? The sound of water trickling in a stream or rain falling on the road? There are a million sounds to listen to. But I wonder what caught his attention first. And I would think what caught his attention first was probably the voice of Jesus. Jesus, in healing the deaf man, uses a unique method to heal him. He puts his fingers in his ears, he touches his tongue, then he looks up to heaven. This physical touch symbolizes a direct personal connection. It suggests that the healing requires both an internal and external engagement with God. Jesus' actions shows that healing is not just about removing a physical ailment, but also about transforming one's whole being. There is something unique, a word that I felt was unique in this gospel that I couldn't skip over. The word translated as sigh in today's miracle story can also mean complain or groan or mourn or grumble. So as Jesus puts his fingers in this man's ears and touched his tongue, he looked up to heaven and he sighed. It's hard to imagine Jesus grumbling about healing someone. We tend to assume that these revelations of God's inbreaking reign were joyful and perhaps simple actions for Jesus. We may prefer to save all thoughts of Jesus' groaning for the crucifixion, but Mark uses that word twice in this whole section that describes the demands, the challenges, the tests placed before Jesus by both his followers and those who opposed him. So after sighing, Jesus said, "Be open." Every time I fret or worry or think that I'm lacking, I can imagine that Jesus is sighing and does one of these and says to me, "Connie, be open." So I ask you, where are you closed off or resistant? Where do you need to be given confidence and hope? You are not lacking. But maybe you're not listening to Jesus. Do you trust the Holy Spirit? Are we creating an environment where people feel safe and seek that experience of transformation? Are we a church community that supports each other and our neighbor, encouraging everyone to be opened to God's work? We think of a young child coming to Sunday school. Of course, they're sponges. Be open, be open. We send them to confirmation. They're not as open. But we still ask for the Holy Spirit to come to them to be open. And for us, are we open? After the healing, the crowd is amazed. It begins to proclaim the miracle. Their reaction underscores a natural response of to the witnessing of God's power. It's the amazement and the desire to share the good news. When we experience God's healing and that transformation, our response is to share that experience and encourage others, because why would we want to keep that to ourselves? Why do we want to keep that transformation quiet? We are being called to be open to God's transformative power, to allow God to break down barriers in our lives and to respond with amazement and a desire to share the good news. And may we, like that healed man, be open to the new possibilities God offers, be bold in our witness to God's grace and love. And if you are being opened, well, you never know when the Holy Spirit is going to hit you. Amen.